shortening the devotions a little bit because of the videos on Wednesday nights, and so I think that they put me on the fifth Wednesday night because it's singing night, either because they wanted to give me as much time as I wanted or because they thought I couldn't just go 5 minutes. So we'll find out. I think we'll be all right, though. I don't plan to go that long. I was in an elementary school today. I didn't used to get to spend much time in elementary schools, and this year I have. I get to go quite often, and so today I was in an elementary school, and there was a presentation going on to the whole group, to the whole assembly, and this gentleman in an orange suit and a top hat, a white top hat. I was going to wear mine like him tonight since I stole his topic, but I don't have one. And so he was running around in the gym, and he was teaching them this concept. And the concept he was teaching them on was contentment. One of you might have been there, and my wife actually happened to be there too. And as I was watching this lesson on contentment, something hit me. Not only elementary school kids need that. It's hard in this world today to be content. It's hard in this world today to say that what I have is exactly what I need, that what I've done is exactly what I've needed to do, and I can just be happy in my moment. It's difficult, isn't it? The advertising world doesn't want me to be content. Otherwise, they fail at their job. They want me to want a nicer car and a nicer home, and they want me to want things that they try to sell. That's what I love about watching reruns. Randa only watches reruns. We don't see commercials very often. That's good. I don't want to buy anything. And so we see that that's what people push us to not be content. And so when we think about our life and when we think about how society talks to us, often, just like for these elementary school kids who were being told, be content. And this is what the guy said. If you are content, you'll be happy with yourself. And if you're happy with yourself, you'll treat others better. And I think that was it was an interesting concept. It took me a minute. I don't know how long it took Mason Morse to digest it, but it took me a minute. And so I was digesting a little bit, thinking, you know what, you're right. Because I'm just going to be happy. I'm just going to be happy with where I am. I'm not going to be looking to undercut people. I'm not going to be looking to be jealous of people. I'm just going to be happy with my life. And so then I started thinking this afternoon to compare that. I had another topic in mind, and I changed it. How does this compare to Scripture? This isn't something that doesn't match Scripture. Contentment is discussed throughout Scripture. And there's a reason for that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." What is it that makes us lack contentment? What is it that makes me not happy with where I am? Worldly things, isn't it? Isn't it most often worldly things that takes me out of the mindset of just being a happy person who goes through my day trying to make others' lives better as well? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why a single hour? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." It's what Scripture tells us. Don't worry about the things of this world. Don't let the things of this world get you out of line. Don't let the things of this world get us out of focus. But just seek first God. So why can I be content? Why can I be content? Because Jesus Christ died for me. There's nothing anybody can do for me on this earth greater than what Jesus did for me. There's no hope that I can have for anything on this earth that is greater than heaven. And I have that. So when I let the cares of the world cause discontent, when I let the cares of the world make me lose focus, I'm focusing more on the worldly instead of the heavenly. So when I was thinking about contentment and what this guy was talking about today, what I was thinking in my mind was this. All you got to have is God. Because he's always there. He's ever present. And he always takes care of us. And the greatest gift of love ever given was Christ Jesus, who gave his life so that you and I could go to heaven. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, verse 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Is there a greater promise than anybody's ever made you? I'm going to go to heaven and get ready for you. And I promise you this, I'll come back. That's the hope that we have. That's the thing that can help us to be content in our life. That no matter how people treat us, no matter how things happen in our lives, God doesn't leave us. And there's something better that awaits us. And that's pretty awesome. The verse that I often quote when I'm presiding at the table, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Nobody's going to ever give you a greater gift than salvation. And so the fact that day in and day out I can know that heaven is what awaits me, I'm going to lose focus. I do it all the time. This is for me as much as it is for anybody, because I get really hung up in my life. That's selfish, because what I know is I've been given everything that I need. And I've been given the perfect gift from Christ Jesus. And so tonight, there is one way that I tell you, you can't be content with your life. And that's if heaven doesn't wait for you. If heaven is not what is going to be your eternal reward, don't be content. Get up and fix it. Because that's the only reason everyone can be content, is to know that heaven, it's what is waiting for us at the end of this life. Scripture tells us to believe in him, Mark 16:16, to repent of our sins, Acts 17:30, confess Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. But then it tells us to remain faithful until death, Revelation 2:10. And that means that when we lose sight, when we fall short, that we have to get back on the right path. Christ Jesus, through Scripture, God through the inspired Word, has said that he will be faithful and just to forgive us when we lose our sight. Maybe you've sinned publicly, maybe you need the prayers of the congregation, or maybe you're not a Christian. If you leave here and you're content with not being a Christian, you don't have hope. But if you leave here and you're not content and you are a Christian, take a look at your life. Because we have great reason for contentment. We have great reason to be happy. We want no one to leave tonight. That's why we have this invitation. We want no one to leave feeling as though they have no hope. So if there's any way that we can help you, anything that we can do, please come as we stand and sing.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God